This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1410. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 28th. U.S. shortwave news, including WBCQ. Heterodynes and subaudible heterodynes from Argentina to North Korea. New schedules from Algeria and New Zealand. African clandestines. Prague invades 40-meter band. Monitoring of and from China, and the propagation outlook. Last week, we concluded by mentioning some broadcast auxiliaries on the 11-meter band, which become audible thanks to summertime sporadic e-skip. And here's another one, reported by David Hodgson in Tennessee, although it's not completely identified, on 25870 kilohertz. It seems to be from an AM or FM station in El Dorado, or Sonora, Texas, two neighboring towns between San Angelo and Del Rio. He heard this at 0200 UT, May 26. Automated oldies radio format, no announcer. There was a canned ID, but of course it faded during the call sign. He only caught the location. So keep an ear on 25870. He doesn't say, but that may be narrowband FM. See if you can identify this one or find some others active on the 11-meter band. The exact schedule of WBCQ on its various frequencies seems to change from day to day, but here's the latest we have. It depends, of course, on the coming and going of various clients. On May 23rd, Alan Weiner told me that Brother Stare has bought 9330 from 12 to 01 UT and 5110 from 01 until 12, 7 days a week. That, of course, adds up to 24/7. We later learned that's not quite 24/7, as there's still Money Talks, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour at 18 UT on 9330. Alan says for now, World of Radio is not on either of those frequencies, just on 7415, Thursday at 2330, and UT Monday at 0415, and on 15420 at the new time of Wednesday at 2100. Sergei Sosedkin took a look at the Overcomer Ministry website and was surprised to see Brother Stare also claiming to be on 7415 8 hours a day. That is, in the afternoon and evening, which would have knocked out most of the worthwhile programming on WBCQ, but that's not correct. He has occupied a number of open hours on 7415, I think many of them previously carrying the Christian Media Network, which for some reason is pulled out of WBCQ as well as WRMI. Bob Jameson Nikolai in California was pleased to hear a new DX program on WBCQ called QSO, Sunday afternoon at 19 UT. This is produced by Ted Randall, who used to do some of the talk shows involving amateur radio on KAIJ. That's Sundays at 19 to 20 UT only on 7415. The first one on May 25th was an interview, or more like a monologue, with Ronnie Millsap, who is an amateur WB4KCG. More about that and other programs coming in the QSO series at www.tedrandall.com. WHRI is having transmitter problems to the detriment of fellow Christian broadcasters. 11785 carrying Hmong Lao Radio on Sunday, May 25th during the 13 UTR was accompanied by a very distorted spur around 11793. Also interfering on the other side with Dr. Gene Scott Anguilla, deceased, on 11775. It was much worse when I checked May 26th at 1638, a big distorted blob on 11775 blocking DGS. KBOH in Los Angeles was putting out its spurs again, fundamental 17775, but heard also around 17920 and 17630, May 21st at 2019. On another occasion, the center frequency was quite muffled, overmodulated, and distorted, but not bringing with it any audible spurs. looking at the WMLK Pennsylvania website, which, by the way, has been off the air for months, from 9265, I found they have a page showing ice and windstorm damage to their antenna. You might want to take a look, WMLKradio.net. By the way, if you click on their streaming link, it launches automatically. Terry Kruger from Clearwater, Florida, who enjoys monitoring Air Marti on 530 kilohertz, among many other odd things, made another trip up to Georgia and reports on his visit to the airport, where apparently Air Marti is housed. It's the Cartersville-Bartow County Airport, south of Cartersville, Georgia. He tells of his adventure in DX Listening Digest. This is the airport where Phoenix Air Group Incorporated is headquartered, the company now contracted to fly the Radio Marti airborne broadcast missions over the Straits of Florida. Allegedly relaying the Pennsylvania Air National Guard's 193rd PSYOP Wing EC-130E aircraft. It's a private military service, if that's not a contradiction in terms. He says, what surprised me is that the Cartersville Airport is, for all practical purposes, entirely Phoenix and secured to accommodate them. The office headquarters are across the street, Georgia Highway 61. I entered the parking lot of the offices and drove to the back. Several mostly black late model Mercedes were parked in the covered section, connected to the building, all with Georgia plates. I then drove to the only open gate by the Flight Service Center and fuel area, all branded Phoenix, next to the tarmac, and snap a few fast shots of some of the Learjet-type aircraft, some of them camouflaged, and maintenance buildings. The only non-Phoenix signs of life are some junky weekender Civil Air Patrol trailers near the south end of the runway. Then I drove there to the south end of the runway on Bates Road, where a small pull-off allowed me to photograph the north-south runways and several turboprops. The three on the southernmost end were in various states of disrepair, non-flyable, presumably awaiting refurbishing. Then back to the open gate to attempt more photos, maybe even outside of the car, even though there's no parking designated as not reserved for Phoenix. At this point, one of Phoenix's little whack-a-nut types appeared in his white compact pickup. Barney Fife pointed for me to stop and get out of the car, which, of course, I ignored and sped out of the gate, northbound on Georgia 61. Sorry, Barney, I don't have time to be detained or lose my Nikon SD card. Having come through the area a few minutes earlier, I knew there was a lot of construction at the Georgia 311 intersection, where I lost him at the red light. I waited a few minutes before driving back south, past the airport, on my way to the next destination. I presume he got my riddle tag number, which of course would have been pointless, since I am sure previous security breaches at Saddle Bunch Keys and the Foreign Broadcast Information Service, CIA in Key West, are on file, says Terry L. Kruger from Florida. He also sends a story from the St. Petersburg Times of May 22nd. Southern Command shows off its latest gear in the war on terror at MacDill Air Force Base. They refer to C-130 planes, which may or may not have something to do with Air Marti. A spur from a broadcast station invaded the 160-meter band on about 1809.4 kilohertz. Bob Gill, K5BG in Weatherford, Texas, asked everyone to see if they could identify it. I was able to hear it around 0630 UT a couple of times, but it was very distorted and weak, so I asked him if anyone had identified it, and he says yes. It comes from KREW 1400 in Plainview, Texas. And he asks everyone who's hearing that spur to call the station and complain. It's been heard as far away as Georgia. On at least one occasion this week, we were able to barely hear XCXQ San Luis Potosi, Mexico on 6045, sometime before 1300 UT. It's extremely weak, and it depends on how much noise there is on the band. But if you hear classical music on that frequency, it's pretty clear where it's coming from. Julian Santiago, Diaz de Bonilla, in the Federal District, informs us as of May 27th that he talked to the engineer at the station, Francisco Moreno, who said that due to the interference the shortwave transmitter was causing to their own FM links and medium wave, they had to locate the shortwave transmitter in an unfortunate location, which is not at a very high altitude. And they hope to relocate it to a more favorable location where it should get out better as soon as possible. They've also applied to raise power from 250 watts to 1 kilowatt, still waiting for that to be authorized. Rogildo Fontanelli Aragão in Bolivia reports that Peru's Radio La Hora in Cusco has been reactivated, heard on 4857.5, May 24th at 2145 to 2305, and they were announcing they were on FM, AM, and shortwave, playing huayno music and local ads. Carlos Camarra Moscoso, frequency manager of Radio La Hora, soon confirmed this in Playdex with some further information. Glad to be back on the air after some problems with the dipole antenna. He says the frequency is 4855. Had been off the air for 3.5 months. Now they have 2 kilowatts of power and are looking forward to being heard in the region and internationally. They're preparing a new QSL and pennant for those who send them reports. He says the current schedule is from 10 to 15 UT, Monday through Friday, as well as 1 hour in the evening at 2300. Their email address is adalidcusco@hotmail.com. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil tells us he also heard their evening broadcasts on 4857, May 26th into 27th from 2333 with ads and sports news and a commercial for something also bearing the name of Gamarra, like the engineer, ID at midnight 6. It's fun to keep track of stations which are unable to keep their transmitter on an exact frequency. Maritz van Driessche in Belgium was hearing RAI Buenos Aires May 21st at 2050 UT with tango music during the French hour on 15344.72. And that matched nicely with the heterodyne I was hearing a bit earlier that day, about 280 hertz from the other station on 15345 Morocco. However, 2 days later, May 23rd at 2001 UT, I found a fluctuating sub-audible heterodyne on 15345. It was oscillating every few seconds from 0 to maybe 10 hertz, which means that although one of the transmitters is unstable, probably RAI, at least it had almost managed to match the other one, Morocco, a feat in itself. DXMix News Bulgaria provides yet another new schedule for Algeria's Holy Quran service in Arabic, transmitted via France, effective May 24th. There are two different beams in use, one for Central and Eastern Africa and one for Northern and Western Africa, 162 and 194 degrees, respectively. All 500 kilowatts from the Isudun site. I'll round off the times. They actually end 3 minutes before the hour. At 05 to 06, 7305. 06 to 07, 9535. 07 to 08, 11620. 08 to 11, 13650. 17 to 19, 13570. Could be a problem for WIMB. 19 to 21, 12025. And 21 to 23, 7295. DXMix News also reported that West Africa Democracy Radio, which has been transmitted via Skelton, UK, to Senegal and neighboring countries, was cancelled as of May 19th. The schedule had been from 07 to 11 on 17875. And in the UK, Dave Kenny checked just in case, May 27th, and indeed they were not heard, nor on any of the other previous frequencies, which still appear on their website, 17860 or 11975. If you want to check their website, see if they're coming back or if they have any further plans, it's www.wadr.org. Click on the U.S. flag to get their English page. More from Africa in a moment. Standard disclaimer, you're listening to the 1410th edition of World of Radio. Check our website for much more, worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support from Mark Schmidt in Hyannis, Massachusetts, who sent a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA. If you prefer PayPal, you may make a remittance there to this address, WORADIO at yahoo.com. Voice of Biafra International is a very interesting clandestine program to listen to. It's mostly in English, along with the native language Igbo. Puts a great signal into this part of North America, since it's transmitted from WHRI on 17650, 1 hour a week, Fridays at 20 UT. I was listening on May 23rd to most of the broadcast. The main speaker is a very persuasive orator, and it was hard to tune away as he made lots of charges against the vicious Nigerians. And he was calling for a million-man march on May 30th, which is the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence of Biafra from Nigeria in 1967. He mentions every so often that the program originates in Washington, D.C. This is not to imply it has any connection with the U.S. government, but I did hear him referring to Nigerian Islamo-fascists, which makes me wonder if he's been inside the Beltway just a bit too long. So it should be even more interesting to monitor the May 30th broadcast of Voice of Biafra International, 20 to 21 UT on 17650. He didn't say anything about this, but I see, according to FCC scheduling, that from June to September, the frequency is supposed to change from 17650 to 15665. That is, starting June 7th until the first week of September, and then back to 17650. And there's much more info on the website, www.biafraland.com/vobi.htm. We've reported before that World Christian Broadcasting, which runs KNLS in Alaska, is building another shortwave station in a very different climate, Madagascar. The project is proceeding. We recently checked their website, and it says, water well has been dug, a security fence built around the site, earth anchors placed to support the towers, and curtain antennas. A generator building, guardhouse, staff home, transmitter building, tool and equipment buildings have been built. The first of three diesel-powered generators has been placed and is now providing electricity. The towers and curtain antennas have arrived on site, and the towers will be raised in the fall of 2008. The fourth antenna, not a curtain apparently, to Madagascar, will also be raised later this year. The three 100-kilowatt transmitters are now being built in Mesquite, Texas. They are digital-ready, and when digital is in use, they will provide an FM-quality signal and be capable of four simultaneous broadcasts. They're able to do this because they have an in with the president of Madagascar, who happens to be a Presbyterian, and he recently visited their headquarters in Nashville. However, he might want to think twice about that. BBC Monitoring, via the Media Network blog, quotes Le Nouvelle website in Madagascar and Malagasy television on May 27th that security has been tightened around the premises of Malagasy State TV and radio following rumors that some military officers were planning to stage a coup. And, of course, the best time to overthrow someone is when they're out of the country, although I don't know if he is at the moment. Chris Greenway in England sent this to us May 27th. Is the voice of the broad masses of Eritrea getting a third network? I've seen various reports in recent weeks about the confusing situation with Eritrean and Ethiopian transmissions on various frequencies. I see the Eritrean Info Minister recently announced that VOBME would be adding a third network on May 24th, which was Eritrea's independence anniversary. It's a story at www.shabait.com. A friend in East Africa says he hasn't heard any more about this. It's difficult to hear any VOBME broadcasts because of the Ethiopian jamming. The Ethiopians often use Voice of the Tigray Revolution as the jamming signal rather than Radio Ethiopia. Perhaps the Eritreans have been testing this new third network, and that's why the Xers have been hearing Eritrea on extra frequencies. Eduardo Peñalillo in Chile says he heard on the Contacto program in Spanish of Radio Prague that to improve reception in South America, on June 1st, they're making a frequency change for the midnight UT broadcast relayed via Ascension. Has been on 11665. It's moving to 7275. He thinks this is good news, but I have to point out that 7275 in the Western Hemisphere is reserved exclusively for amateur radios, and they have no business broadcasting on that band westward from Ascension, although they can certainly do so eastward to Africa. Last week we reported that International Radio Serbia had vanished from shortwave, as it does periodically. Indeed, that was the case as of that date, but they did come back slightly later. On May 22nd at 23:37, I was again hearing the Bjeljina relay from Bosnia on 6185. In Serbian after 23:30 and English after midnight UT, the usual collision once again with Mexico City. Meanwhile, our correspondent in Serbia, Dragan Lekic, found out what the problem was. He contacted the station, and they said they were replacing a tube in the transmitter. Mike Barraclough in England says the German section of Radio Bulgaria reported on its DX program that they would start DRM transmissions on May 26th with the home service Radio Horizont and later foreign services in English, French, German, and Spanish. Trouble is, what's the frequency? They never gave any details of exact times or frequencies for their new DRM service. However, I happen to have them. And here they are. It's a 20-kilowatt transmitter in Sofia aimed 306 degrees, approximately northwest. I'll give the center frequency, although, of course, DRM spreads 10 kilohertz. Monday through Thursday at 09 to 12 on 11900 and 13 to 16 UT on 9700. Friday to Sunday, however, it's at 06 to 12 on 11900. We've mentioned before that one of Saudi Arabia's transmitters puts out a terrible buzz. It's completely unusable, but they don't seem to notice and keep it on the air, such as 15205 kilohertz between 16 and 18 UT. It's bad enough on that frequency, but now Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says that it's spreading far beyond the center frequency, 15205. He says it's 50 kilohertz wide. That is, that range is useless because of this buzzy transmitter. It also extends 15 kilohertz on various other frequencies in the past sesquiyear. However, in recent days, one of these faulty transmitters has put out what it calls an ignition plug signal, 500 kilohertz wide, and the buzzy tone, 350 kilohertz wide. Especially this Arabic service at 16 to 18, which ranges from 15010 to 15505, as noted May 26th. Another one is 11915 from 18 to 23 UT, covering up 11758 to 12138 with ignition spikes, says Wolfgang. I say, maybe now there will be international and ITU outrage. Wolfgang says he saw a comment in a newsgroup that Saudi Arabia is super rich by petrodollars, but still a third world country. Aker Peterson in Denmark, via PlaidX, reports listening to Voice of Iranian Kurdistan in northern Iraq. That's believed to be the transmitter site, Al-Sulaymaniyya, on 4886.21, May 20th at 0205 to 0235. However, 4 minutes into the broadcast, they jumped to 4860.39, reading news and playing folk songs, while the jammer stayed on the original frequency. Aslam Javaid in Pakistan has an update on Radio Pakistan installing two new 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitters at the Landi site near Karachi. It's underway out of the total allocated cost of $7.2 megadollars U.S. 60% has been spent so far. They've spent a smaller percentage installing some new medium-wave transmitters of 100 kilowatts. Richard W. Parker in Pennsylvania reports hearing All India Radio Gangtok Sikkim on 4835, May 13th at 0210 to 0215 with Kodar interference. Well, be careful on this frequency because Pakistan has also been there, 4835, starting at 0200. However, that was in the B07 season. Noel Green in England says that Pakistan service is currently on 5940. So perhaps 4835 is currently clear for Sikkim, which is scheduled to sign on at 0100, so that's the time to look for it before the sun gets any higher. As I mentioned last week, we thought perhaps China would resume Firedrake as the musical source for its extensive jamming after the three-day quake morning period. However, as of May 27th, still no Firedrake, just the China National Radio 1 network heard all over the dial, interfering with broadcasts trying to get into China. It so happens that two of our regular correspondents from the U.S. have been visiting China, Ron Howard from California and Mark Schiefelbein from Missouri. Mark has been in Beijing, and he observes, as of May 24th, yes, no Firedrake music, but CNR1 instead. He says sometimes they use several different transmitters in different locations to provide the audio, causing a strong echo effect with two or three separate reverbs on each sentence. On May 25th, Mark found that voice of Pujiang 4950 was back to regular programming instead of all-news format, heard at 1540 UT, signing off at 1600. It had been 24 hours. Hunan PBS heard on 4990 May 26 at 1515 with Chinese opera, which to the casual observer sounds almost like Firedrake, but it's not. Ron Howard was visiting Shanghai and noted May 21st that CNR2, or China Business Radio, resumed its own programming after days of relaying CNR1. The Sichuan PBS service was heard most days on 6060, 7225, and 9740, with some short segments of CNR1 relays. Mark Schiefelbein in Beijing also took the opportunity to see how many North Korean shortwave frequencies he could pick up. One of particular interest is KCBS in Hamhung on 3220, May 23rd at 1720. He had not found it on the air during a previous band scan of North Korea, but it was on at this hour, parallel to 2850, 3350, and 3960, and once again heard May 24th at 1440. According to the Domestic Broadcasting Survey, it was last reported a sesquiyear ago in January of 07. Been noting interference to Havana's 13760 frequency in the morning around 1330 or 1400. That is a frequency also used by the Voice of Korea, which I assume is the interference, but now I get a note from the French service of China Radio International that they moved their Albanian relay also to 13760, replacing 13670 for the French broadcast at 14 to 16. And I have been hearing not only an audible heterodyne on 13760, presumably North Korea, but also a sub-audible one much closer, which must be China via Albania. Regarding that new Australian on 2368.5 in Greek, Radio Simban, if that's how they pronounce it, we reported last week, Mauno Ritola of Finland, who managed to hear it, says in Cumbre DX that they apparently tested for only 2 days and have been off the air since then. Because of Chinese interference on 13840, Radio New Zealand International is forced to move to 13730, effective May 29th. From 2050 UT in AM and from 0159 to 458 in DRM. If you're in Toronto, May 30th to June 1st, you may be interested in the Radio Without Boundaries Conference, New Adventures in Sound Art. There is a charge for registration. Details at www.deepwireless.ca. Thanks to Jaisak Tivel in India. The propagation outlook from Prague issued May 23rd. Geomagnetic activity, quiet June 2nd to 11th, 13th, and 14th. Active to disturbed May 28th to 31st and June 17th, otherwise unsettled to active. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio, 1410.